have to call you back just as soon as I can.
The mailbox is full.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband. Obviously, automatically deleted again. You know, this, even after all these years, it's still getting old. But yesterday was a celebration of Charlotte's birthday, turning 7. And I did do a happy birthday video for her. And I did it in front of a playground. It seemed appropriate. And I've never met her. It hurts. You know, there was talk of a meeting some many months ago with Julia, and she then talked about a boyfriend, and I indicated in some form that she's married to Isaac, and that was the end of the dialogue. You know, the Bible's an offensive thing, isn't it? You know, that's the Romans 7, the easy one. You know, my wife doesn't agree to, Jim Cross doesn't agree to. People look at the world more than the Lord. I find this most unfortunate. But there is obviously I have old photos of Charlotte, and I think of her as a young, you know, I used to have her picture, her unborn picture that Julia sent me so many years ago, well, over 7 years ago, and it was on my wall for a long time. And, you know, I had the photos of Charlotte and James together on my wall. But I've never met them. And, you know, again, the reason I was so comfortable, I think, with the photo of her in utero was, you know, again, I was a pro-life advocate and remain so. And over the weekend, I saw a, you know, because I do study loosely some countries. One, you know, just loosely, Sudan, because I am aware of Sudan, South Sudan, and some of the tensions there, which is causing the death of a lot of people, starvation, and so forth. But, you know, I think this was well said. They talked about it as the forgotten war, because people are dying like crazy. And when I looked at that, what I saw again, same thing, a bunch of young kids. And that gets to me, especially as I can't even see my own. Then there was the thing Friday, because I think it all kind of relates in the sense that, you know, there was the a lot of things about Russia kidnapping kids in Ukraine and so forth. And here they show up in Germany. It's an interesting story, relates. But again, what happens to kids because of deception is just, you know, see, in that case, the Ukraine stuff, kids going to Germany, it's based on lies. And of course, there is the issue about the Ukrainian, because it's very strong, the harvesting kids for pedophiles and for organ harvesting. It's a big business there. All the stuff based on lies. And I think about what is happening with my family. What do they think of me? I would suggest a whole lot of stuff based on lies. And it's a concern. And the way you maintain your lies is you do not have any dialogue with the opposition. You know, considering that, as I did point out Sunday at a hike with Chris, we only did 7 miles. But, you know, post that, I did another 4 miles on my own, including a half mile swimming. So I ended up tired. but in our 7 mile dialogue, it was intense dialogue on scripture. And there's a couple things. We're not on the same page. But instead of saying, you're bad, go away, It's constantly hammering. What does the Lord say? It's not, I want to prove that I'm right and you're wrong. No, what does the Lord say? Bring evidence to me to refine my understanding. Where I'm wrong, I want to know. Where I'm right, I want clarification to make sure I'm standing on what's right. Can't do that when it's political. Can't do it when my goal is money. Can't do it, can you? One other thing, there was I saw a video, and I said, okay, I got to look at this. Short little video somewhere here in the U.S., where a bunch of people were trying to help somebody get out of a car that was on fire. And I looked at that, and I saw that, and I thought, apparently part of the issue was the car door was a guardrail, it appears. So the car's on the other side of the guardrail, and they couldn't open the door because it was bumping into the guardrail, or they had whatever. But the issue is, when I looked at that, and I saw the fire, and I thought about the person inside that car, and about 12 years ago, that was me. You know, the issue is I could open the door and get out. But the flames, well, I was in the car, and the flames, like this person in the car, very similar. I know what it's like to be in a car on fire. To see the flames jutting out, you know, from the engine department, basically from the wheel well is where it was coming out. Rather large while I was still in the car. And of course, smoke coming into the cab, a little bit of smoke coming in the cab initially. A whole lot more came by the time I got out. But, you know, I had time. But it was a reminder. I can relate. The other thing I found is this one gentleman did a thing that I thought was one of the best explanations, and of course this comes from Al Jazeera, and they're not all that fond of Iran, so they did a really good, pretty good job of this, showing how again, you know, they shot off the thing I think is most instructive. They spent estimates I hear from $1 to $10 million. Iran did, and the West spent apparently $1.3 billion in defense. So this was, yeah, money-wise, this was a good investment for Iran. But also, it was most embarrassing. Again, what they did is they sent off a whole lot of slow-flying drones. They told Israel and the U.S. long before, here they come. So they spent literally over $1 billion to shoot them out of the air. But then they sent a few higher speed missiles and they got through. Because all the money was spent on these other drones. And so the stock's been depleted. Just like the issue with Ukraine, where, our stocks are depleted, send more. Yeah, which obviously it's a money-making scam. And, yeah, it's most unfortunate. The one other thing I saw last week, and so I was reminded of it because I actually had a dialogue on this, in Senegal, because I've discussed Senegal many times. There was an election, a new guy who was actually put in prison, then won the, got out, won the election, became president. Young guy, relatively young guy, fighting corruption, you know, and I mentioned the focus on whistleblowers and so forth. And this one thing, which, you know, I had mentioned a few days ago about what's happening there, because I had a dialogue on it. And part of the dialogue was, here's another case where here's an opportunity to bring in the tools, because it was kind of an opening. We want to protect our whistleblowers. They do in Senegal. We don't in the U.S. You know, if you're a whistleblower for Boeing, you might be dead soon. But you know, one of the issues was, you know, the native language is French, so I have a little trouble with that. But I know how to do this. But finding allies, because again, the one gentleman said, you know, maybe it's hard to find allies. I was delighted that I had a very productive day, but then I started having equipment issues. I'm really concerned. I really feel the Lord's just continuing to push me over the edge and say, you know, you have no hope but me. And the dialogue I had with Chris today was fantastic on that idea. But anyway, we've been talking today about it was a continuation of the dialogue from our hike yesterday. The idea being sanctified and holy, which does indeed come basically from the same word, and depending upon how it's translated, and it really we spent a lot of focus on Hebrews 10 brought a lot of joy, you know, because, and you know, we discussed in Hebrews 10:10 that they have been sanctified, and 14 who are being sanctified. It's the same word, a different tense, and it's interesting in the ESV, who are being sanctified, and the issue here is, you know, one of the things it wasn't the Hebrews, it was on the Titus where we saw this. No, it wasn't tied. Anyway, I'm not prepared in this, but it was a joy to be able to contend with a brother. Not to say I want to defeat you, but let's strive to understand what the Lord is saying. It really is a joy. And, you know, one of the bottom line things was, it's the Lord that does the sanctifying. It's not that we do things to sanctify ourselves. The Lord does it, which was consistent with the idea that we see in 1 Corinthians 6:11. You're washed, you were justified by the Spirit of our God. God does, He cleans you up. We can't clean up ourselves. God takes the dirty, the filthy, and cleans them up. We can't do it ourselves. We can't hold on to Him. He has to hold on to us. The encouragement of this, especially with the frustrations that are happening in life, is tremendous. You know, it's like being in the car. The car was on fire and I was in it. And it wasn't that. It was God's grace that I could step out. It wasn't because I deserved it. In a sense, it would have been so much easier if I would have never stepped out. I think about this little girl. There's this little girl born in Gaza. Was it today? Her mom was killed. She was still in her mom. And she was removed after her mom was dead, and she's alive. You know, it's not that the mom and dad did anything to protect their child. It's not that the child did anything. It was the Lord's grace that child's alive today. He used man to do it, in the sense that he put people there to get the baby out of the mom after the mom had died. But it was the Lord's grace that does this. That's a big deal. It's a really big deal. I pray the Lord's grace will be seen by my family, my kids, including Charlotte, my grandchild, including Julia, including my lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore, my lady. I love you, and I ask for you back.